What's up, Hyperfast Nation? On this episode of the show, we're taking a look at the impact that the National Association of Realtors antitrust settlement had on brokerages. In the last episode, we did this for agents. In this episode, we're diving into the impacts that it's going to have at the brokerage level and what you need to look out for as a real estate agent. Stand by for the next episode of the Hyperfast Agent Show. All right, welcome to the show. In the last episode, we looked at the bombshell NAR settlement, proposed settlement, and the impact that it had on the agent level. So I talked about in that show what you need to do as a real estate agent to upgrade your skills so that it has minimal disruption on your business and that, you know, helps you gain market share even, right? Because the agents that don't adapt are going to get out of the business. So then it means more market share for the agents that do upgrade their skills, that do adjust and adapt, all right? And I also mentioned, by the way, and this is just one more plug to go back and find the episodes on Mastering the Buyer Game. It's a 9-part series we did where we took our like world-famous course on how to work with buyers. It came out in August of 2023, so go back on YouTube and watch Carrie talk about how to work with buyers, because the agents that have been doing proper buyer presentations, presenting value, getting commitment, getting agreement signed up front, they're going to be impacted less than the agents that have not been doing that, right? Because so much of what you'll need to do going forth in the future, you know, was covered in that course. All right, but today, how does it impact brokerages? Well, the settlement covered all brokerages in the U.S. except those that were doing over $2 billion in volume in 2022. So if you're one of the 170 plus brokerages over that limit, you are still going to be subject to your, you know, potential lawsuits, right? And might have to settle. Now you can join the class. They listed an option. You can calculate like 0.0025 of your volume, pay that, and then join the class. Well, I think that for like a $2 billion brokerage, is the math works out to like $5 million. Right, and $5 million for a brokerage doing $2 billion in volume is a lot, right? Because brokerage margins are low single digits, and this is an interesting group of brokerages that was not covered, right? Because it includes monster brokerages like EXP Realty, like Compass, you know, and others, and then it has, you know, smaller ones that are right at the $2 billion mark. So, you know, they potentially each will have to do their own settlements. We don't know. You know, there were a couple companies, Anywhere, Remax, Keller Williams, that settled prior to the NAR agreement. So I imagine that those will be used maybe as benchmarks with adjustments for agent counts or, you know, brokerage volume, but who knows? But in general, outside of like, you know, those brokerages that are over $2 billion, having to potentially do with their own lawsuits and settlements, how will this impact the real estate industry and brokerages, right? Because things will change going forward, right? Sellers can no longer use the MLS to offer cooperation to buyer's agents, right? They can still offer the cooperation. They just can't say in the MLS, we're offering a fee to buyer's agents. They can offer closing cross credits for buyers that to cover that, right? But they just can't specify that it's for the buyer broker. Other big change, buyer's agents have to get a buyer broker agreement signed up front that states their fees before they show a house to buyers. You should have been doing this all along, but a lot of real estate agents have not. So what's the impact? Well, I think low-skilled agents are going to suffer the most. The agents that are doing one or two or three deals a year are going to suffer the most, and I think a lot of them are potentially leaving the business, right? And if you're in that class of agents, I would encourage you to upgrade your skills to invest in whatever it takes, time and money to, you know, get better at communicating, get better at presenting value, get better at generating leads. Because I'd love for as many as you to succeed. But I think of the agents that will get out of the business, many will be in that like one, two, three deal a year type range. I do think you'll see agents, you know, we're already seeing a pattern, by the way, last few years of agents migrating to low fee brokerages. I think that will continue. So I think if you're a low fee brokerage, right, a brokerage with a low cap, I think it's going to benefit you. I think more, you know, if agents are going to have a decrease in volume or commission compression, right? Not saying that's going to happen, but if it does, I think it favors brokerages that have low fees and low caps. All right. I also think the brokerages that have low caps already in place, all right, because there's, you know, there's brokerages like EXP that has a $16,000 cap. There's brokerages like Compass that don't have a cap, right? So like if you're an agent doing 250 GCI at EXP Realty, you're going to pay about $16,000 plus some transaction and monthly fees. That same agent at Compass is going to pay like 50, 60 grand. Well, let's say there's, in that scenario, let's say there is commission compression where the $250,000, you know, GCI gross commission income agent in this new model, and I'm not saying it's going to happen, but let's say they get compressed on their buy side commissions, and they go from 250 to 200. Well, at EXP, that agent's still going to pay the same amount to EXP because the cap is going to be 16,000 plus transaction fees. You know, EXP's revenue didn't change in that scenario. However, if they're at a brokerage like Compass or any of the uncapped brokerages, going from 250 to 50 or to from 250 to 200,000 in GCI, that's a 50,000 drop in commission. And if they're taking 15 or 20% of that, that's $7,500 to $10,000 less that brokerage collects, right? So commission compression is going to affect the revenue of brokerages that have caps a lot more, or excuse me, that don't have caps. It's going to affect the brokerages, the revenue of brokerages that don't have caps more than it is the revenue of the brokerages that do have caps. So I think there's potential less revenue coming in, and I think it's potentially going to affect the uncapped broker model more. I think because of this, cloud brokerages that have, right, because you know, there's all sorts of low-fee brokerages. Low-fee cloud brokerages have another advantage, right? Because there's low-fee brick-and-mortar shops out there. They're going to get, you know, but the difference is, right, the difference between low-fee brick-and-mortar versus low-fee cloud. Low-fee cloud brokerages have a higher percentage of costs that are variable, right? More of their cost is variable, so they can decrease their expenses. You look at these brick-and-mortar shops, much harder. They have a lot of fixed costs. They have leases. They have office staff, office managers, you know, higher fixed expenses. So I think brokerages that are set up in the cloud have an advantage because they have got a higher percentage of variable costs. So if revenues comes down, they can adjust and pivot a lot quicker. I also think the size of your brokerage matters, right? I think if you're a large brokerage, you're going to have more resources, right? You're going to have more resources to deal with potential lawsuits and settlements that come up, right? Because these brokerages that are $2 billion in volume are not covered. So large brokerages are going to have more resources to deal with the litigation costs, with potential settlement costs. They're also going to have more resources to invest back into the agents, right? Because investing in the agents right now is going to become more critical than ever because agents are going to have to improve their sales skills, right? Their communication skills, right? You know, even the ones that were doing a great job of getting buyer brokers agreements up front, presenting value up front, they're going to come in more scenarios where they're negotiating for their buyer agent commissions, either with their buyer, their seller, or the seller's agent. Maybe getting creative ways through lender and title to get some of those fees covered. I don't know. But you know, in any case, we have to invest back in our agents, and I think the brokerages that have more size are going to have an advantage. as well as the ones that have the structure that incentivizes other agents to invest in the agents at the company, right? Like, for example, when you're at eXp Realty, you have a sponsor, you have up to seven people in your upline that are getting paid based on your financial success. You've got seven different people that bring different skill sets, experiences that you know, financially benefit when you do, right? We also have the Icon Agent Program, where the top 1 or 2% of agents that reach Icon status get $16,000 of stock back to them. I think part of that stock benefit, not all, but a small part, is contingent upon teaching classes or giving back to the company somehow, right? So, you know, not only do you have your seven like upline sponsors to pour into you, you've got this whole system where the top 1 to 2% of the agents are the ones pouring back into the company, teaching the classes that are available to all agents. So, you know, as we look at this settlement, I think, you know, if I'm an agent out there and I'm like, where do I want my business to be in the future? Well, I want it to be at a large brokerage. I want it to be one that has a low fee, low cap, and I want it to be one that has variable expenses and one that has a structure that incentivizes agents to pour back into me. And I think those are the brokerages that are going to do well in this environment. They're going to come out on the other side of this in a lot better shape, and I think they're going to be the ones that grow more, attract more agents. That's just my opinion. Who knows? But if you want to look into, you know, how your business could be impacted by coming to eXp, specifically by how it could be impacted by coming to eXp with top agents and top sponsoring agents like myself and Carrie Scholl as your sponsor, all you need to do is send me a text message. It's me on the phone. I answer it, 703-638-4393. I will guide you through the process of exploring it. Maybe it's for you. Maybe it's not. Right, never hurts to find out. If anything, it's a free 30-minute consultation or however long you want with myself. You know, I'll walk you through the fees, the structures, how much more commission you'll keep, how the specific training that Carrie and I, and specific coaching that Carrie and I give you, will help you sell more homes, help you earn stock awards, help you build revenue share that pays you monthly even when you don't sell home. If you want to learn about that, send me a text message, 703-638-4393. Thanks again, everyone, for tuning in to the HyperFast Show. Please share this episode with other people, other real estate agents that would benefit from it, and I'll see you next time.